Does anybody here today have any kind of ailment going on in their body? Okay. This is for you. I'd like to start off in Revelation chapter 2. Instead of going from front to back, I'm going to go from back to front this time. Revelation chapter 2. You know, there is a thing that we see in churches that many, many churches mix doctors with God. Now, I'm not here to tell you today don't go to the doctor. I'm not here today to tell you don't take your medicine. But I'm telling you God's got a better way. Now, there's many of you here who've never seen me before. In July of 93, I was diagnosed with 5 melanomas and liver cancer, and the doctors gave me a month to live. And God supernaturally healed me with no treatments. And the reason that happened is because I gave my heart to Jesus Christ that weekend that I went to church. I went to church every weekend doing God a favor, okay? Have any of you ever had anything like that in your life? I went and faithfully did my 2 hours every week doing God this favor. But I wasn't saved. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And the day I said I do to Jesus, He told me to turn to Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." How many of them is that? That's the total amount of them, past, present, and future. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." I was in serious need of healing. I was dying and going to hell. And I asked Jesus to save me. I knew nothing about healing until He showed me those verses. He healed me. It's been nearly 14 years. I've never had a sick day since. I don't go to the doctors. I don't need to go to the doctor. Now, what I'm telling you is, if you're already going to the doctor and you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. Okay? Don't be stupid about this. Because when God heals you, you don't need to go to the doctor. And you know you don't need to go to the doctor. I want to go here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Now I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Now, how many people here do we have that are married today? Okay, I want to ask you something. If you said to your husband or to your wife, "Honey, I love you, but I have another lover on the side." Now, that's okay, isn't it? But how would that husband or wife feel in their heart about you having another lover on the side? It would hurt their heart, wouldn't it? How would you feel if your husband or your wife said to you, "Honey, I have another lover on the side"? It would crush you. Now, what I'm proposing to tell you is something you've never heard preached in any church, because I've been to a lot of churches and I have never heard it. And God told me to tell you guys this today. He says, those of you who are calling Jesus healer and running to the doctor, you got another lover. Now, that's a hard word, and I'm not saying it to run you down. What I'm saying, Jesus says, we've left our first love. Now, when you first get saved, man, I mean, you're on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going out there and you're telling everybody you know about Jesus. You clean your life up. You get the junk out of your life. You quit running around with the women or the men. You quit going to the bar. You quit smoking dope. You quit stealing cars. Whatever it is that you were doing before, you quit and you change. Because your heart is in love with Jesus and you want to please Him. Okay? Now, look at this. If you have another lover on the side, something's not right. Now, like I said, I don't want to get in the ditch with this. There are people here in this church probably that are on some kind of medication or they're under a doctor's care. I'm saying, you know, that's fine. You know, because you didn't know maybe that Jesus is your healer. There can be such a healing take place in your body, you'll never need a doctor again. There can be such a redemption of your physical body that you don't have to go to the medicine cabinet and take a pill. You know, see, on today on television, you can look at the TV and you can look at every commercial. They want to sell you diet stuff. They want to sell you antidepressants. They want to sell you all kinds of pain relievers, arthritis medicine. They want to sell you wheelchairs, you know, like these little electric scooters. They want to do something to sell you some kind of a medication. Well, I don't have anything against doctors. Some of the doctors are good. Some of them are after your money. That's all they care about. But there are some good doctors that are fighting the same thing that I'm fighting, and that's sickness. But listen, God's got a better plan, and it doesn't include doctors. I've had so many people say to me, well, Jerry, don't you think that God heals people through doctors? Didn't God give us doctors? Didn't God give us medication? Didn't God give us hospitals? No, He didn't. God sent His Word and healed us. Now, for those who apply it, it's just like salvation. If you don't apply it, it doesn't belong to you. If you don't come and ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, even though He made it available for all of your sins to be gone forever. Listen, if you don't ask Him, it ain't yours. If you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, He'll be your Lord and Savior. One of His holy names is Healer. What right do you and I have to take away His holy name of Healer? And yet, we run to another lover. We are depriving Jesus of what He bled and died for on that cross. These songs we sang here this morning, well, I mean, just led me right into this today. I mean, these songs we sang were powerful. They're about the blood. That blood that was shed for you and for me cleanses us of all sickness, all sin, everything that made us contrary to what God made Adam and Eve in the garden. There was no sickness in the garden. There was no doctor in the garden. There was no hospital in the garden. Why? Because the life of God was in Adam and Eve. It was not until sin came that sickness came. Jesus came to redeem, to buy back, to ransom us from that fall of Adam. So what part of that fall did He not redeem us from? Well, the Bible says He redeemed us from all the curse. All the curse. I want to ask you something. Those here that pay tithes, why do you tithe? Well, because you've been taught so you won't be under the curse. So you run to the doctor and you're bowing down to another idol. Now, we wouldn't go into a Buddhist temple and bow down and worship Buddha. But I propose something to you today that if you got doctor bills and hospital bills, you're bound down to another idol. You're in bondage to another God. That's not God. Our God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, redeemed us from that. Now, I'm not going to say God's going to wave a magic wand and every one of you will be instantly healed today. But I'll tell you what, I've seen tens of thousands of people healed in my nearly 14 years in this ministry. I have preached in even a place like we were in Alabama a year ago, January, and I preached in a coffee shop. A coffee shop, not a church. And there was a man came up to me, had stage 5 prostate cancer. Short time to live. And he says, do you think God would heal me? I says, absolutely. I prayed for him. Jerry's not the healer. Okay? I want to make that real clear. Jesus is the healer. I know the healer. I am so sure about Him being healer that I told this man, God will heal you right now. And you know what happened? He healed him right there in that coffee shop. And that man went to the doctor the next day and the doctor says, you got no sign of cancer in your body. Now, that's just one of thousands. But, you know, it came revelation knowledge to him that Jesus is indeed the healer. I want to make that real clear to you today. Now, let's go over in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are. Exodus 20, and I'm going to start in verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Oh, I like that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, we live in this new covenant, and we say, well, you know, the old covenant's done away with, the law is done away with. Hey, I'll tell you what, this is not done away with. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God never did away with that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them and serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. God is a jealous God. Now, he wouldn't want you going in the Buddhist temple and bowing down. He says, I am the God that healeth thee. He doesn't want you going in the doctor's office and bowing down. Now, I know you've not heard that before. Almost every church I've ever been preaches, go to the doctor. I think they're watering down the gospel. You know, how many testimonies do you hear in any church or any that you've ever visited about people being healed? Well, the testimonies I hear go something like this. I went to the doctor and God healed me. I had such and such surgery and God healed me. God wasn't there. God doesn't need a surgeon to heal you. Who does he need to save you? Who does Jesus need to walk alongside of him? Did he need the other two thieves on the crosses to save you? Was his blood enough? Okay, if his blood was enough to save you, his blood was enough to heal you. Okay? I am a no-compromise preacher. I don't get invited back to preach in a lot of places because I won't compromise. I preached in a church in Georgia that I was talking about God doesn't need a doctor to heal, and the pastor, an old man, loved the man, stood up in the middle of the sermon and said, Jerry, God gave us hospitals and doctors to heal us. I says, Pastor, my Bible says God sent his word and healed. I am not going to compromise with God. I'm not willing to turn loose of this perfect health I live in. It ain't worth it, I'll tell you. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want to start in verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? You know, that's not a hard thing to do. That's not a cumbersome thing. People say, oh man, those laws were hard. It's not hard to love God. My God, he loves you. He laid his life down for you so that you can have a better life. He didn't die on that cross so that you have to run to the doctor in the hospital. He didn't die on that cross for you to live in poverty. He didn't die on that cross for you to be living in sin and go to hell when you die. He laid his life down that you might have eternity with him. Now, a lot of people say, oh, when we get in heaven, we'll have a healed body. You can have a healed body now. I'm here to tell you. I have one. I like it. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, I go around people who are sick all the time. I don't get sick. They get well. Not because I'm special, but because I have the anointing in me. I have so much healing in me, it just runs over. My wife and I have not been doctors. We don't even have health insurance. Well, yes, I do, really. Right there. There's my health insurance. Genesis to Revelation. You know something? How much money I save on health insurance every month? Well, I don't even know what health insurance costs. 1993, the last I had health insurance, it was about $216 a month I was spending. I have no idea what it is now. But whatever it is, I'm not spending it. I don't have to spend it. You don't have to spend it. Let's go on, verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. You see, what God wants to give you today is not for your bad. It's for your good. He wants to bless you. Behold, the heaven and the heavens is the Lord's thy God, and the earth also, and all that is therein. You think about this. If the whole universe belongs to God, and everything that's in it, that means you belong to him. Now, don't you think your creator knows how to fix your body better than a doctor? I asked the doctor this one time. I says, can you take an empty test tube and create a living blade of grass from nothing? That's the simplest of all things, is a blade of grass. No, we can't do that. Well then, how do you expect to heal me of cancer when you don't even know how cancer works? Well, we can give you this and we can give you that. I didn't go back to the doctor. I figured they couldn't heal me. I see people dropping like flies. They're on chemo and radiation and surgery and all this stuff. They're not getting well. They're getting broke. They're losing all their money. They're losing their homes. They're losing everything. And then they die anyway. God's got a better plan. I like His better. Only the Lord had delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of thy heart, and be no more stiff-necked. See, we want to be stiff-necked. We want to do it our way. Well, we've always gone to the doctors. We don't know any other way. You know, really, if you haven't been taught there's a better way, you can't walk in it. If you haven't been taught that Jesus is the healer, you'll be sick, and the devil wants you sick. I'm surprised how many of the churches want people sick, because they're not teaching they don't have to be sick. They're not teaching their people that they can be well. I'm not talking about just kind of ho-hum okay. I'm talking about well. I'm talking about feeling good. He doth execute the judgment of the fathers and widows, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. You see, God's a good God. He wants to do good things for you. Love you, therefore, the strangers, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve. To him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, that he hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. You know, I know the Bible says you shall not swear by, you know, the hair on your head or by the throne of God. But what it's talking about here is God wants you to have allegiance to him, to cleave to him, not be willing to separate yourself from him. Why? So he can heal you. So he can protect you. So he can bless you. He wants you blessed more than you want to be blessed. I promise you. Man, I'll tell you what, let's go over in the New Testament here. Let's go in Acts chapter 3 here. I'll start in verse 1. Now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered therein, to the temple. Ask an alm. Alm is a word that means mercy. Who, seeing Peter and John go into the temple, asked them an alms. In other words, have mercy on me. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, says, look on us. And it says, he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting a handout. He was expecting a coin. He was expecting some money. He was expecting something that was going to help him to live a little better than he was living. This man was born lame from his mother's womb. Never walked a day in his life. Never. No doubt his parents had him to all the physicians of the time. They couldn't do anything for him. Nothing. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. You know something? See, the beggar was wanting silver and gold. Healing wasn't even on the man's mind. Why not? Because he had no hope for healing. He had no hope. But Peter and John says, such as I have, I give you. What did he have? He had healing. He had something the doctors didn't have. And not only did he have it, he was willing to give it. How many of the doctors you go to are willing to give you their time? How many of them are willing to treat you until you're well at no charge? Come on now. I'm helping you here. I don't know of any. But he says, such as I have, I give. That means he ain't charging you. I like that. In the name of Doc Holliday, in the name of Lake Ozark Hospital, in the name of the clinic, no. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, not next week, not next month, not after we went to the doctor, immediately, His feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Why does God want you healed? So you'll praise him. You know, I have seen many people who are not saved get healed. God's got this dinner bell he rings before salvation is called healing. He rings the bell. Hey, come and dine. You know, many people think, well, you know, I got to get my life cleaned up and I got to get saved before God will heal me. Nonsense. You come, he'll heal. You know, it's just like I used to like to go fishing, you know, and God told me, you catch them, I'll clean them. Sounds like a deal to me. You come to Jesus, he'll heal you. He doesn't put any conditions on it. I don't see any place in the Bible that Jesus says, repent first, I'll heal you. He told one man, go to the temple and show yourself to the priest. He told another one, go wash in the river. He didn't tell any of them, you got to clean your life up before I'll heal you. You see, when you come to Jesus, he'll heal you. And you'll see how much he loves you. You'll clean your life up. I promise you. Man, I mean, I had a life that really needed a lot of cleanup. And when I found out Jesus loved you, my wife's shaking her head over there, huh? My wife knows me. But, you know, I cleaned my life up. Not because I was fearing going to hell anymore. I just cleaned my life up because Jesus loved me first. I'd like to say I got saved because I fell in love with Jesus. No, I got saved because I was scared of going to hell. I was wanting to serve me, myself, and I. I got saved because I wanted to get out of hell. And you know something? Jesus did too. He wanted to get me out of there more than I wanted to be out. Man, when I got to learn about that kind of God, I want to serve him. I want to know that kind of God. I want to love that kind of God. I want to be in his house and worship him and praise him. I want to study his word until I got it running out my ears. I want that God because he loves me. He loves you. And it says that all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened to him. Now, if they were amazed, they saw something. Okay? Now, you fast forward this. Now, keep in mind, God never changes. Okay? So, all the stuff that you saw happening in the first churches, Book of Acts, fast forwarded a mere 2,000 years, keeping in mind, God never changes. Now, look at what we see in church today. His people are sick, broke down, busted, afflicted, sad. What happened? You know, it's like a man and a woman get married. You see them drive away from church and you can't tell who's in the driver's seat because they're almost like on top of each other. But you see that same couple 20 years later and he's over here and she's over here. Somebody moved. Like I said in Revelation 3, Jesus says, I have somewhat against you. You've lost your first love. I propose today if you go back to your first love of God, you won't need to run to the doctor anymore. I want to just settle something here for you guys today. You remember the story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal? Okay, that's over in 1 Kings 18. Let's go over there. 1 Kings 18. I'm going to start in verse 20. I guess that's kind of where the story starts. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I, even I, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and I will lay on no wood and put no fire under. And call ye upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Listen, I'm telling you today, I'm willing to stand before God Almighty and say, God, if you're God, you heal these sick people here. And if he be God, he'll answer. And if the doctor heal you, then he's God. Now, I know you ain't heard that preached. I'm out there, okay? I'm out there. You know, if you go to pick fruit on a tree, you know, everybody comes along, picks all the easy apples off the bottom of the tree, and pretty soon you got to get up on a ladder, you got to go out on a limb to get the fruit. Apples don't grow on the trunk. You want the fruit, you got to go out on the limb. I am willing to go out on a limb for God. God has pulled people out of wheelchairs for me. The very first one was at Kenneth Copeland's in 99. This man was quadriplegic for 8 years. And we were sitting there, the pastors up in the front, and they dismissed for lunch. We went out and got us a hamburger, came back to our seats. We wanted our good seats. And there was a man sitting up at the stage in a wheelchair. And I was writing a daily devotional at the time, and my wife was praying, and she wanted to talk to me. And I said, honey, let me finish what I'm writing here, and I'll talk to you. And after I got done, she said, I think you're supposed to go pray for that man over there. I said, okay. And I walked over there, and I said, brother, what's your name? He let out some kind of sound. I couldn't understand him. I said, did you come here for your healing? He nodded. He said, yes. I says, Jesus wants to heal you. And he started to weep. And I says, he wants to heal you right now. And, oh, he started to cry. And the Lord told me to go get my Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 8. And I walked back over to my seat, and I picked up my Bible. Matthew chapter 8 says, and a leper came and worshipped him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And I said to the man, I know your problem. You know God can heal you, don't you? And he nodded yes. And I said, but you don't know if he'll do it for you, do you? No. You see, this leper man, Jesus had never healed a leper before. He knew he could because of all the other healings Jesus did. But that man had an excuse. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. He didn't have a doubt in his mind Jesus could make him whole. This quadriplegic man had no doubt that God could make him whole, but he doubted if he would. Folks, we don't have that excuse. We've got God's written word. Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. I sat down and I read out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every account of every healing miracle that Jesus did. It took me probably a half hour, 45 minutes. He showed up and he healed that man, and we walked around that convention center, and Brother Copeland had him on his TV show giving his testimony on November 14th, 1999. Okay? That was the first one he pulled out of a wheelchair for me. There's been many since. Not because of me. Now listen, I'm not the healer. I told you that before. The God of Abraham. He is God. The same God that you look to for salvation. He is the healer. He is the healer. Not I'm going to be, not I want to be, not I was. I am. Let's go back here to where I was at here with Ahab the Arab. I'm going to go back to verse 24 again. And call you upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire thereunder. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning, even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt on the altar which was made. The same thing, O doctor, heal me. No reply. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, says, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking or pursuing, or he's in a journey, or perhaps he sleepeth and must be awakened. There's another translation that says, perhaps he covers his feet. In other words, maybe he's taking a dump. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manners with knives and lancelet till the blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of tribes of the son of Jacob, whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order, and cut the bullocks in pieces, and laid them on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And he did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and filled the trench with water. It'd just be like me saying, bring your wheelchair people. I defy the devil to stop them from being healed because my God will answer. Bring your doctors do your breasts. Bring it on. Come on, bring it on. Bring them. Show me your people you've healed. I'll call upon the name of my God. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in heaven, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Oh, I love this next verse. And the fire of the Lord fell. I'll tell you what, it ain't ever going to fall on you until you call on it. It ain't never going to fall on you until you believe. God will never show up and embarrass you with a miracle if you don't believe God's healers. I've had churches that say, well, we just don't believe in miracles anymore. Listen, we just don't believe that we're in that same dispensation. Well, I'll tell you what. We're not in that dispensation. Problem is, God still is. He is in the dispensation of Savior and Healer, and He's stuck there, folks, because God never changes. The problem is with us, with our so-called modern thinking, we have slipped out of the dispensation of healing that the early church knew that we're not seeing today. So how do we get back on the same page with God? By putting away our other lovers. By stop bowing down to the other gods. That's a hard word, isn't it? You want to get on the page with God where you can be healed, there's some changes got to be made. We got to start thinking different. We got to think like those early disciples did, to be willing to go out on a limb for God and say, He is God. I'll put Him to the test. You know, I'm not afraid to put my God to the test because He's never, ever failed me. I don't think He's going to fail you. The blood of Jesus has lost no power in all eternity. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Man, I mean, he got it all. Okay? Let's go over here to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. This was the story about when Elijah was taken up to heaven. Elijah says, well, stay here, I'm going to Gilgal. Stay here, I'm going to Jericho. You know, and Elisha says, no, I'm not leaving you. I'm going where you go. And so Elijah says, what will you ask of me when I'm taken up? Elisha wanted a double portion. He said, well, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I go, you'll have it. Well, Elijah was taken up. Elisha says, my father, the chariot of the Lord. He saw him. The mantle fell back to earth. He picked up the mantle. Okay? This is like going back to God. This is like going back to the time of the early church. And he came to the river, and he took the mantle, and he smote the waters. Let's read about it. Verse 13. He took up the mantle of Elijah, which fell from him, and he went back and he stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. We're saying, where is the God of Elijah? I am not afraid to say, where is the God of Elijah? Because, you know, I know right where he's at. He ain't at the doctor's office. He's right here. To anybody that'll call upon His name, He's here. To anybody who believe and call upon Him and trust Him with their whole heart, He's here. He ain't down the street. He's right here where you need Him. How many of you are sick and tired of doing it your way, trying to get well your way? Let's try something different today. Let's try doing it God's way. God's still in the healing business. I'm not afraid to call on God. You need healing in your body. He said He sent His word and healed them. But I'd say, let's get you healed today. You need to go back to the doctor. Go back to the doctor. But I'll tell you what, there can be a time when you don't need to go to the doctor anymore because you can be walking in a well body. I don't say that to say, well, look at me, how holy and righteous I am because I'm healed. I'm saying, look at what my God has done for me. He will do no less for you. No less. Let's just be willing to say today, where's the God of Elijah? Let's make a decision. If doctor be God, let him be God. If God be God, let him be God. Let the one who answers and heals be God. Let's leave it in his court. Okay? I tell you what, I am not afraid ever to go out on a limb for God. He's never let me fall. I'd like to say everybody I've prayed for has been healed. They haven't. Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, she snuck up on him. He didn't pray for her. She determined that she had heard about the healings of Jesus and she was going to have hers and she was going to have it right now. And that was settled in her heart. You got to settle it in your heart today. Just like you settled it on the day when you got saved. I am getting saved today. No devil is going to stop me from getting saved. He can't stop you from getting saved. Believe it or not, Satan cannot stop you from being healed. He can't. He doesn't have it in his power. Because if you will cry out to Jesus Christ and apply that blood of that sacrifice to you today, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Anybody wants prayer? I'll be happy to pray. Like I said, I'm not the healer. I am the messenger service. And I hope that you will really chew on what I've given you here today. I know that you've not heard this kind of teaching before. Like I said, I'm out there, a long ways out there. I know I'm out there. But what I'm doing is working. And it's working for everybody that'll apply it. All I'm really doing is just trying to get you back where the people were in Acts chapter 2. When you look down at the people who have watered down the gospel compared to what it used to be, there's a big difference. We haven't gone about to water down the gospel and negate the blood of Jesus. The church has not done that. It's just that the church has failed to keep their eye on the original gospel that was preached in all its power. And so a little chip here and a little chip there, and pretty soon we have a big boulder of the gospel that's now a pebble on our hand that doesn't have the power to do anything. The gospel's never changed. We have changed it. If you don't see the gospel of Jesus Christ working in your life, then I propose to you today, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been misrepresented to you. Ouch. I'm preaching the Jesus of miracles. I'm preaching the Jesus of salvation. I'm preaching the Jesus that delivers from sickness and from torment and from the devil. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we will call upon his name with our whole heart, we will have no reason to go out of here today without what we want. Praise God. That's what I want to teach you. Amen. Anybody needs prayer? We're here to pray. If anybody does not know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior here, I'm telling you what, there's no high like the Most High. There's no God like the God Almighty. Loves you. If you don't know him today, this is the day. You need healing? Today's your day. You need deliverance from the devil? Today's your day. Praise God.
Thank you for purchasing teachings from Life Healing Ministries. We would like to also invite you to visit our website at www.lifehealingministries.org. And if this teaching has been a blessing to you, we would like to ask you to be a financial partner with Life Healing Ministries to help us to work together to take the gospel all over the world. You can reach us at area code 573-690-4367 anytime that you need prayer or counsel or any other thing you need to contact us for. We're there for you. God bless you.